Is that a fresh hoodie?
No.
Like
I've had it for a while.
Earlier. Oh, no. It's Dolphins.
I like it.
I love it. They have a bunch of them in all teams, like hockey jersey, football crossovers.
Yeah.
Probably look good with the Pats logo.
That's, yeah. Would. I mean, realistically, anything would look good with the Pats logo, you know?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Not an integrity award.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready to kick it off? All right, let's do it. Welcome back, everybody who's watching, any viewers on YouTube. If you guys are watching live on YouTube and you want to write in any questions, that's what we're here for. Feel free to talk some shit. Tell us about your team. Ask us about trades. We love all that stuff. And thank you for watching and listening. All right. We like to start off every show with a quick 1 minute from Lonnie Cox, why your team sucks. Lonnie, take us away.
Another week, another team is awful. Today we're heading down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You lost four of your last five. Tom Brady, you should have stayed retired. You came back to the NFL to not only lose to PJ Walker, but most likely possibly miss the playoffs. It's only week seven, and you've lost four games already. I think that's more games than you lost the whole season your first year in Tampa Bay. It's rough. It's not good. It doesn't look good. Your offensive line is all over the place. Your defense is scrambling. Your receivers are healthy, but they're not. And just Tom Brady, he looks good. He's playing decent, but they can't win the game. And you'd say, oh, well, that must be because the teams that they're playing are really, really good. They're not. The Panthers just lost Christian McCaffrey. They just lost Robbie Anderson, and they still look like shit. But they were 13-point underdogs going into yesterday and somehow still beat the Super Bowl champions from 2 years ago. Tampa Bay, your team sucks.
Carolina also fired their head coach. Let's not forget about that.
Forgot Matt Rhule, right?
Yeah, Matt Rhule. Sometimes, though, there's a little bit of juice when a team is, like, super, like that was one of those weird little traps. People were like, players get up for it when they know everyone's shitting on them. And there was a little bit of that. But even still, no way Tampa should lose that game.
Only scoring 3 points. And then Mike Evans had that drop. That was the most disgusting drop I've ever seen.
Dude, it was – and that's a momentum changer, really, because, like, Carolina could, if they get that play, that deflates a team when they're already, you know, feeling down maybe about themselves. Like, that's one of those things, you kind of like a kick in the nuts. But yeah, man, I'm with it. Although, so, all right, let me say this. Tom Brady earlier, also last week before the game, he was criticized for saying on a podcast that playing football, like an NFL season, was like going off to the military. And like, he was obviously very like, that's the context. I think they took it in was not exactly how he meant it. He apologized later on. But I think what he meant was like, the bottom line is if you re-enlist without asking your wife's permission, like she's probably going to start banging some other guys. That's kind of,
that's what I say. I think it's, from being in the military, I think Tom Brady's not too far off. If you go off for too many deployments, your wife will leave you for Jody.
Right.
That's rule number one.
So let's maybe not. All right. Now, but let me ask you. So obviously you're like, Tom Brady should have stayed retired. That's kind of how it looks right now. If Giselle actually goes through with the divorce and leaves him this season, like if she gives him like, all right, finish out this year and I'll give you another shot, he's probably not coming back. But if she does actually divorce him like mid-season, what's to stop him from just being like, fuck it, I'm gonna play till I'm 50. I'm gonna put every record in the NFL so far out of reach that no one's even gonna like think about it. Like he could start taking the league minimum and just be like, give me the best offensive line money can buy. I'm going to just ride this thing out. What else does he have to do? You know, like what, he wants to go broadcast for Fox like right away? I don't know. I think if she divorces him, we might see Brady for a few more years, just run it into the ground like Jordan with the Wizards. And I kind of want to see that.
I don't know.
It'd be fun.
I don't know how good that would be, actually, man. I don't know if he has enough to push a shitty team over the top anymore, you know, or a mediocre team to being great.
But that's my point. Like, what if he just started to, he doesn't need money. What if he just started taking the league minimum and like went to the Jets and like won a Super Bowl there? You know,
I guess if it's something like that, where it's just a stacked team and then there's another chip on the board.
Why not? You know, like, why wouldn't you give him a shot if you got all the other pieces in line and he's willing to take, you know, a huge, like no money. I don't know. Do you think he could do it? How long, if Giselle divorces him, do we see him play again next year? What do you think, Lonnie?
Not if his bot, if he keeps playing this way. I mean, if the team keeps playing this way, he's not going to make it the rest of the season. He's got no rushing attack. He's got the ball in his hands every single play. I mean, if the offensive line doesn't keep him up, I don't know how much longer he's going to survive, you know?
Well, I'm not talking about Tampa, though. He's not under contract next year. He can go anywhere he wants to after.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, that's suggesting he survives this year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, if your wife leaves you, like, what else does he, what does he care? Like, just keep playing football. That's why he came, you know, that's the whole problem to begin with. But yeah, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey leaving the Panthers. That's the big news of the week, obviously. Going to the Niners, the Rams, who I was talking about last week, though, I thought was going to be a good fit. They were apparently like a close second to landing him. It was between those two teams. And I'm willing to bet Cam Akers was part of that package. And probably the reason that the Niners ended up getting him is because they offered all the draft picks instead of players. I think, they, like you said, the Rams didn't have the draft capital to offer for him, which is clearly what they wanted. They basically have the entire 49ers draft next year is going to the Panthers.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Is it, though? Like, you don't like it? I like it. I think it's worth it.
No, man. Are the 49ers, does that move put the 49ers in a win Super Bowl position? If not, I don't think they should have traded away their future, because I don't think Christian McCaffrey is maybe good for 2-3 more seasons. Those draft picks could go further.
I think he's good for more than 2-3 more seasons. What about this? I mean, what if we put this all together? What if Brady decides he wants to go finish his career out in San Francisco with that offensive line, with that rushing attack, with those receivers? That could happen. He was always a Niners fan, and that was something they had talked about before he signed with the Bucks, was possibly going there. Maybe they're just trying to entice him next season. I don't know yet. Lonnie, does it make them a contender this year?
The way that the defense is playing, you look at the playmakers around the field, you know, they're really, I would say, the clear favorites to win their division. Might even be in the talks of one of the best teams in the NFC. This was before the trade. You add one of the best playmakers in football to your team, like, I would say that they are on the cusp of being Super Bowl contenders. They were Super Bowl contenders last season. They were a couple plays away from playing in the Super Bowl last year. The question is that team going to carry into the playoffs? Is Christian McCaffrey going to stay healthy? I like the move. I like the win now mentality that the Rams implemented last season and won the Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
I think yes. I think you put an already great team in a better position to win. Yeah. Now, that team, again, was in the NFC Championship game that year. Does Christian McCaffrey on that team win them that game? I think that's what they were looking at. Mm-hmm. And I think they were probably looking around the, you know, the coach's room and like, yes, Christian McCaffrey would possibly give us an extra 7 points that game, an extra 10 points that game. So I think it's a very interesting discussion. You know, Christian McCaffrey showed some life again this year, you know? So yeah, I think you're looking at definitely a much better San Francisco 49ers team if it works out. It doesn't always work out. You can't always just take one piece, drop it on another team and expect great things to happen. But I think if it does work out, it could possibly lead to a Super Bowl ring. Absolutely.
Yeah. And those are the moves that you make as a team. It's like, what are we really doing this for? If not to swing for the fences. And that's what they did. I like it because they're not in rebuild mode. You know, Debo and Kittle are in their prime. Jimmy G's playing pretty well. Their defense is banged up right now. They did lose pretty badly to the Chiefs, but their defensive secondary is really banged up right now. So they're not the defense that they were earlier in the year, probably not the defense they're going to be later in the year. But all those things aside, like, you got a team that's kind of, they're ready now. And this might be the thing to put over the top.
I mean, they've played, they were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Yep.
And they were a couple plays away from being in the Super Bowl this year. Like, the San Francisco 49ers have been hanging around pretty quietly, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, the 49ers have been hanging around as one of the elite teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Certainly elite teams in the NFC. They've been right there
for
years.
And you look around and you're like, man, they don't really, outside of Debo, they don't really have anyone, and maybe Kittle, you know, Bosa, but nobody on their team will really jump out as a superstar. If you're a football guy,
Kittle's just nobody.
I'm just saying, okay, George Kittle again, but, you know, that's three guys on a team of 22. I mean, you look at the Dolphins.
No, that's a good amount of stars.
No, it's not. You need superstars at every level, but they have them. You just don't know their names. That's the thing. That's the thing about the 49ers. Is they have superstars at every level, like the Bengals last year. The Bengals have superstars at every level. They're just not household names.
Right.
But the 49ers defense, they have one of the best linebackers in football, Fred Warner. They've got one of the best defensive lines in football by far. I mean, that's not even a question. And when their secondary is healthy, it's elite. So their defense is an elite defense. It's just kind of quiet. And then their offense, you know, yeah, you've got Jimmy G at the helm now. No one's super excited about that, including the 49ers. But you've got arguably one of the greatest receivers in football. Now you've got one of the top five, top six running backs in football. You've got one of the best tight ends in football, a great offensive line. Like, you're starting to look at the 49ers now as like, man, they've got some stars on that team, on a team where you didn't really think of them that way before.
Right. You don't have really weaknesses beyond Jimmy G, and he's not that bad. When you get decent play out of him as a pretty good game manager, it's good enough to win a Super Bowl. He almost did against the Chiefs. I like it. I certainly think that division is very much winnable for them now. Already was, and even more so now, especially since the Rams didn't get McCaffrey. All the more reason, by the way, if they knew that the Rams were making a push for him, they almost had to go for it. Because if the Rams get McCaffrey, then you're talking about the pendulum swinging towards them in the same way. That it's like, if you know your division rival who's at the, like, fighting for the division lead with you is going for a guy, you kind of have to go for him also when he's a game changer like that. All right. So aside from,
well, how do you think that affects their value though? It's like Debo and,
that's right. I think Debo's value fantasy wise goes down. I actually think all of the value of the 49ers, except for Jimmy G, if you're playing him in like some super deep or 2QB league, everybody else gets hurt by that McCaffrey signing. Debo goes down. Ayuk goes down for sure. Kittle goes down. Cause he's just anybody who catches passes goes, like, they're going to see a drop off because you have to get the ball into his hands, and that's going to help them win games. From a fantasy value, dude, the funny thing is, like, in our league, Lando has McCaffrey, but he also is sitting on all the 49ers. He also had Ayuk and Debo. So, like, of all the teams,
this is not his season.
I know. Well, he's beating you this week, but he's just getting the first win. But of all the teams that could have been hurt by him going to the 49ers, it was him, and he has him on his team. So it's so funny, man. He's having a rough year, but he's getting the W this week. So aside from Brady, Rodgers is also, everyone's talking about both of them. Rodgers losing to the Commanders badly. It was closer, obviously, than the Bucs game, and not as big of an upset, but still, the backup quarterback for Washington coming in and knocking off the Packers. Let me ask you this. We talked about the Packers' struggles last week. If you have to pick, one team is going to make the playoffs and one team is not going to make the playoffs, Packers, Bucs, which one is in and which one is out? Lonnie, you go first. You got to pick, and one of them has to be in.
Packers and Bucks. You know, I think the Packers, you're just looking at a team that doesn't really know what it is right now. Like, what are the Green Bay Packers? Like, they don't have a receiving core. They've got two solid running backs, but they're not running the ball that much. You know, they don't really know what they're doing. Their defense is, like, decent, but it's not special like it has been. You know, Aaron Rodgers is just kind of flat. He's just not playing Aaron Rodgers' brand of football. I mean, he scored less than my quarterback choice last week, which is Tyler Heinicke. Like, Tyler Heinicke outperformed Aaron Rodgers. And it's funny because you look at the Buffalo Bills game this weekend, and I've got first choice at worst quarterback, and I'm like, I can't do Aaron Rodgers, right? That's sacrilegious. But he might be in the conversation now.
I know. That's,
you know, both of these teams, I think quite honestly, we're looking at a situation where you would very reasonably say that both of those teams are not going to be in the playoffs right now.
Right. If you have to pick one to make the playoffs and the other one not, which one's in, do you think? Which one's more likely to turn it around?
Oof, it's tough, but I would say the Packers, I think, would probably be the team that you would look for. The Buck, well, no, it's the Buccaneers, because the Buccaneers are in a much softer division. They've got the run, they've got the receivers. It's Tom Brady. Like, the Bucks most likely will still probably make the playoffs if they can get it together. I mean, the Saints are getting healthier. The Falcons are not the Falcons anymore. They're playing pretty well. Yeah, it's probably the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm with you. What do you think, Vital? Bucks or
I agree. I think it's definitely the Bucks.
Yeah,
they just had a weaker conference, and their team is just a little better. They're. I don't know. Their games aren't as close, but it seems like it's because of the same thing. I don't know. Just like mistakes in route running and like all that stuff. But I don't know. I think it's really weird, because if it was the beginning of the season, we would be comparing the Packers and Bucks to who's going to win the NFC Championship game.
I mean,
never, like, who's going to make the playoffs?
Yeah. Isn't that who most of us picked for the NFC Championship?
I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Did we all pick at least one of those teams, if not both of those teams, for the NFC Championship game? So, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm with you guys, the Bucks, and for the same reason. Well, for both, yeah, a lot of the same reasons. I think definitely the division is much weaker. You had the Saints losing to the Cardinals pretty badly. You had the Falcons getting blown out by the Bengals. Obviously, the Panthers beat the Bucks, but I don't really see them doing much after this. The Bucks have too much talent on that team and too weak of a division to not finish on top of it. I think it would be a huge collapse if they don't win that division at this point, because there's really nobody ahead of them. Whereas, yeah, the Packers, they're chasing the Vikings in their own division. And I don't think anybody's scared of the Bears or the Lions really, but who knows? So yeah, I agree with you on that one. They both could still sneak in though. All right, what else we got? Bengals, speaking of the Bengals, Bengals look good again. Bengals look like the Bengals. They look like they're coming back around. Scared of the Bengals in the playoffs for your Dolphins, Patel? You worried about those Bengals coming after you?
Not a chance, bro. They barely beat us, and then Tua got hurt. They barely skated by the Dolphins on a hurt team. I can't wait to see them healthy in the playoffs. It's going to be a shootout.
I think so. I think that could be that would be a fun, really fun matchup if we get it, which doesn't seem unlikely. Dolphins didn't look great against who did they beat? Oh, the Steelers.
Like,
they didn't look great, but maybe the Steelers are
the defense did.
The defense did look pretty good. Steelers offense hasn't been great though, and I don't know. It's hard to peg the Steelers. Like, who are the Steelers?
I think the Steelers are a good barometer for whether or not your team is good or not. Like, they're right there in the middle. You know what I'm saying? If you beat them, yeah, I think you're a good team.
I agree with
They're just right there. They're not bad, but they're not – I don't think they're spectacular. I saw a thing about the Steelers talking about how Mike Tomlin does just enough to stay, like, two games above 500.
What, on purpose?
Yeah, just to keep the Steelers fan base happy so they're not rapping. Like, he knew that Mitch Trubisky is probably a better QB to play, but the fans are rabid and wanted Pickens. So,
I mean, well, also he knew they weren't a Super Bowl contender with Mitch Trubisky. So you got to play your rookie, see what you got with him, let him develop some chemistry with young receivers. Sure, fine, why not? Pickens, dude, George Pickens made another ridiculous catch. He's disgusting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Wow. Their receivers are nasty. If Pickett can't figure it out with those receivers, I don't think he'll be the starter. I think they'll draft another quarterback because those receivers should make every quarterback look good. Quarterback's not looking good. Matt Ryan officially benched. Benched for Ellinger, is I think his name.
Yep, Sam Ellinger from Texas.
Ellinger. Is this more about Matt Ryan or Sam Ellinger?
Matt Ryan, 100%.
God awful. What, is this the last we'll see of Matt Ryan for his career?
Yes, this is it. He's done. This is it.
His career is over. Mm-hmm. Vital.
His career is done.
Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably go be backup somewhere, but QB.
No, starting quarterback in the Super Bowl. MVP. You don't become a backup after that.
He was a league MVP, wasn't he?
MVP. Yep. Ooh. You don't become a backup after that.
Not usually. No.
He's made his money. You know.
He thought this.
But again, Sam Ellinger. I think you're seeing the end of Matt Ryan. You're also probably going to see the end of Frank Reich, their head coach. Mm. I think it's time for a regime change now. Here's the thing I will say in both of their defenses is their offensive line, who arguably they have the best guard in football, and Quentin Nelson has played atrociously. I think Matt Ryan, I saw today, has been sacked 25 times this season, which is so insane. Bad.
Yeah,
their offensive their rushing attack is virtually non-existent. They had the best running back in football last year, and he's just a ghost. He just does not exist this year, and neither does anybody. Their offense just can't get anything going with that offensive line. So,
yeah,
I think this is more on the offensive line and the coaching staff than Matt Ryan, but
their receivers are something. Not very good. Maybe he might have asked to be benched. Matt Ryan might have been like, you know what, I'm done. Just take me out. Like,
sure.
That's possible. I mean, given the situation, the circumstances, you're in a bad division and you're losing in that bad division.
And yeah, you said his receivers aren't that good. I mean, he's got Michael Pittman Jr., John Ross, like nowhere near like elite receivers at all. But
I think
Mo Alley Cox.
Yeah, I don't think Michael Pittman's a number one. I think he's a number two receiver in this league. I don't know. Maybe sure. Not. We'll see. We'll see. I guess we'll see with Ellinger. But I don't think he's a true number one. I don't think you have a number one receiver on that team. So, yeah, that's going to be – they're the Colts, man, selling. I'm selling on everybody in the Colts for fantasy. Just dump, fire sale all those guys. Even Jonathan Taylor, maybe while he's still got a little bit of name value, try to move him for some pieces because he's not delivering really, is he? Do you have him, Lonnie? Or no, Vital, you have him, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not doing the job for you. Your team's not doing so hot. And because
I've got somebody else on my running back table.
Dude, Josh Jacobs is going crazy.
Do you see my – I just – while you have – if you have the app open, I would just like you to see my running backs this week.
Oh, Lando, I know. I know what your running backs did this week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went off. Josh Jacobs went.
No, not Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was on my bench.
Oh, no, but he still played well and scored.
Sure.
Yeah. No, he still did.
He was my least. He was on my bench, and he scored the least for me.
Yeah.
For my
running back. Walker went crazy. Josh Jacobs, I know because I have him in one of my other leagues. Dude, he looks like Saquon Barkley did a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Saquon looks good too, but Jacobs is running like crazy right now. He looks unstoppable. He looks like maybe the best value in fantasy
easily
football, right as of right easily. Now. The best
value. I mean, you've got, I think he was the number seven running back when I texted you guys yesterday. Yeah. So that was the rankings were based on the week before that. So he'll go up into the top three, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure.
This week.
Yep. I think, and he's going to put, if they keep playing that way, and they don't even have Waller right now. Those Raiders keep playing that way. They're going to play themselves back into the conversation in that division. I think maybe not, they might not challenge the Chiefs, but they might be certainly could put themselves in a, in a wild card position. They're probably the best 2-4 team, you know, in a while. I would not want to play the Raiders right now if it were me. If I were one of these other teams that's like looking to get well, the Raiders are not the team you want to run into. What else we got? DeAndre Hopkins is back from his suspension, from his PEDs, and he looks great. Who saw that coming? You know, a couple PED, little steroids, a 6-week vacation, and he looks healthier than he did all last season. So, Cardinals got a big boost from that. He looks great, played well. He did a classic D hop. He dropped 20 points without scoring a touchdown in fantasy. Awesome. You love that. He's a 20 to 35er. If he scores touchdowns, he's in the 30 range. He's great. So anybody, but the thing is, a lot of the teams that used, because he was going pretty high in draft, a lot of the teams that use draft capital on DeAndre Hopkins are already out of it in fantasy leagues. Like, they're, so many of those teams are like 1-5. They're like, DeAndre Hopkins is going to save my season. Like, he probably isn't. Like, you're just going to play a spoiler now. But if you have him and your team is doing okay, if you're in that 3-3 range, maybe even 2-4, he could be the thing to get you over the top. Ravens finally closed out a close one against the Browns. Is this significant for the Ravens? Do we think they're going to kind of make a push? That was a tough game. That's always a tough game divisionally. You buying or selling the Ravens right now?
I'm buying. I think their defense can't play much worse, but they went ahead and locked up a little bit. I've noticed they're not trying to give up huge plays. So just like I said, just know Jackson's going to give you the lead. So Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you just got protected a little bit. What else we had? Dak is back. Talk to us, Lonnie. Dak came back and didn't look very good.
No, he doesn't look very good. He hasn't looked very good in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're looking at a guy that is in the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation in terms of league standings, you know, a third, it straddles between the second and the third tier of quarterbacks in the league. I like him, you know. I think he's a great personality to look and be the face of the Dallas Cowboys, which is what Jerry Jones cares about.
Yeah.
You know, the special thing about the Cowboys is by far their defense. They have a phenomenal, amazing, electric defense.
Mm-hmm.
But in Cowboys fashion, they will do absolutely nothing with it. Now,
they do feel like the 49ers a little bit before the McCaffrey trade. They do feel that way.
Mm-hmm. They're a similar team. They, you know, they, I think I compared them before to like the Chargers. They're always kind of like hanging around. But then when the big moments come, they kind of shit the bed. The 49ers, what they have is discipline as an organization. And they're more like willing to do the things necessary to win. They build teams in intelligent ways. And that's why you've seen 49ers, even though they have not won the Super Bowl, but go from the Colin Kaepernick team, a total rebuild, back to the Super Bowl, you know, move around some pieces, back to the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are just kind of not built that way. But
I would say they're the difference, the real difference is the management, like the front office.
Yeah.
Is
that's what I mean.
Really way ahead of like there, and they make smarter decisions and they always get great coaches. Yep. They go out and they get the best coaches. And you've seen that have the impact. So that's really, it's not about necessarily the player personnel. It seems like it's the front office and the coach.
Yeah, the Cowboys always have a great roster. I mean, the Cowboys roster is usually stellar.
Yeah.
It's not that. I mean, it's funny. If you put the Cowboys roster in San Francisco, or you put them in LA, or you put them in Oakland, or you know what I mean? Like
New England, right?
Right.
You would see,
New England. Forget it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? I mean, Micah Parsons in a Steelers helmet. Like, I think everyone can easily envision something like that. But
absolutely.
It's just Dak is back. Is it very exciting? No.
It's not,
you know, The Detroit Lions had the worst defense in the NFL or around there. They won the game, but it wasn't very impressive. I don't think Dak scored a touchdown.
No, it wasn't pretty. Gallup got 0 points. He got nothing. That was I'm maybe going to bail on Gallup. I don't know. You might want to consider it. There seems like there's just so many better options, which we'll get to in a minute. The running back, Zeke, did well. Zeke's looked pretty good. He's about the only like value in fantasy right now. CD's okay, but you probably overpaid for him if you got him.
10 points. Got him in the second round. Just nothing.
Right. Nothing. It's not worth it, but you got to keep playing him, obviously. And Travis Etienne's jumping rails here. Is it possible to be the comeback player of the year if you didn't play, if you've never played before? Like, is that allowed? Because he looks like, I mean, he missed his whole rookie season. For all intents and purposes, this is his rookie season. But I feel like he should also maybe be in consideration for comeback player of the year because he came back. Man, he looks awesome. He's super fun, exciting.
So fast.
So fast. So good. The Jags still lost because they ran into the anomaly that is the New York Giants. But Etienne, the Jags could still make some noise, and Etienne is a big reason why, I think. Daniel Jones looks like he's playing his way into a starting position for the next couple of years. He's playing hard football. The team believes in him. He's making the right plays at the right times. I feel like Daniel Jones is putting himself in the Dak Jimmy G tier conversation. What would you guys think about that? Do you think Daniel Jones earns a starting spot going forward after this year?
I think he does, but I think it's going to be the wrong decision. I think it's going to be one of those things where he earns it and then immediately, like, the Patriots don't pick a QB that they should and downhill. But yeah, I think he's if he keeps playing like this, yeah, of course.
Do you think they're not going to draft a QB because of it? Do you think they're going to get more
pieces? I think so. Like, wide receivers? I think if he keeps playing like this, why would you?
Sure, yeah. Especially when you could get more wide receivers, which he doesn't have any right now. And they're still winning.
And he's still throwing.
Like, right. What do you think, Lonnie? You think he's going to be the starter after this year?
You know, I think you look at a guy that knows the system and you see a guy that wants now that he finally has an offensive line. And I think you can see around the league. I mean, I've talked about this every year of this podcast, that if you don't have a good offensive line, your team isn't going to do shit. Like, this is the National Football League. Right. If you do not have a good elite offensive line, you're not going to make noise. And the first thing that the Giants did this year was solidify their offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Giants look good because they're able to keep Daniel Jones on his feet. He's not having to make decisions, you know, with Chase Young on his back and Micah Parsons on in his chin strap.
Yeah. And Saquon
I think he has earned the right to start for that team. If they are going to protect him, you know, like, I think you can see now what he's capable of. He was a number one overall pick, wasn't he? Or number two or number three, like something like that.
Yeah. He was their first round pick though. Yeah.
He was there.
He was very low draft pick.
He might've been like the second one. Cause that was that year. There were a bunch of QBs, but they were okay. Wasn't it Fields, Jones?
No, this is before.
No. This was like 4 years ago. I'm pretty sure he was like the number two or number three overall pick in the NFL that year.
I think he was six.
I could be wrong.
I'm guessing sixth pick, but like one of the first quarterbacks.
One of the first.
Was he the first? He might have been the first. Yeah, you might be right. I think, and honestly, I don't think we are seeing what he's potentially capable of because you haven't seen him with a good, healthy receiving core either. You know,
yep, sixth overall. You're right.
Sixth overall,
First that year was Kyler Murray, right?
Oh, was it? Was that the Kyler Murray or the Baker Mayfield year? I think that might have been the Baker Mayfield year. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Daniel Jones. I think that's how it went. Two, three, and quarterbacks. I think I want to say that was that draft. Right now, he looks like the best out of the...
Kyler Murray, and then Daniel Jones.
Okay. All right, well, good. I think he's going to be the starter. He looks like he's going to be the starter. I want to see him with some receivers. I want to see him with a full year with Saquon, Saquon's definitely taking the pressure off of him too.
I think Saquon's a big difference maker on that team, as soon as it got just like a pressure valve off, because that dude can take off. If you blitz him and Daniel Jones is, I mean, if you blitz Daniel Jones and Saquon's there, he's going to take off on you, dude.
He's going to take off. And Daniel Jones is capable of taking off. He's showing a lot of ability, running ability.
He's been fast, though. He just didn't have control of his feet. He kept falling.
Yeah, like weird and opportune times. It's fun to see. I like it. I've always liked him. I feel like I've always wanted him to do well and see what he could be. And I'm glad he's getting that chance. And it's nice to see him doing well with it. Speaking of Saquon, there's a couple guys in the league which I just kind of took notice of, and I just want to mention, like, who've kind of had injury history that, you know, like in the last few years, that this year they seem like they're doing well. Saquon, obviously top of the list. Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon was an injury guy for a few years. People kind of wrote him off last year. He played really well and he's still healthy this year. Dalvin Cook was even one of those guys, and he was out a little bit last year. All those guys still playing solid and still healthy right now, which is cool. And another guy,
you know what, Nick? I noticed that you left Michael Thomas off that.
He was out again this week. I know.
Oh, okay.
Oh man. I'm desperate in my dynasty league. So desperate. I need him so badly to come back in my dynasty league. I might still win this week. I don't know how, but my whole team is injured. It's brutal. Anyway, yeah, but the Saints, their whole receiving core still, though. Again, Olave came back, I think, and played pretty good in that game.
He played well
in the Thursday night game, but Jarvis Landry's still out. They're talking about Jameis coming back possibly. I'm curious if Jameis is coming, has been waiting for the receivers to come back, you know, like kind of like, let's wait till we're all healthy and then let's get on the field. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's not great. But you know what? Another guy who has also always been a historical, you know, down on him with injuries, who's playing really well this year, is Evan Ingram. He's been really consistent. He's going to probably be a top 10 tight end. I picked him up to fill in for Darren Waller. I might just stick with him for the rest of the season.
Waller's been getting hurt a lot this year, dude.
Waller's an injury issue right now, and I feel really good about having Evan Ingram. You figure one of them will be healthy probably. So, and when either of them are healthy, those guys are two of the most explosive tight ends in the game. So yeah, I feel like with both of them, I have one healthy tight end between the two of them combined. Some major injuries. Breece Hall, who was looking like a potential rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year candidate, blew out his ACL and also a shoulder injury, which is crazy to have both of those things. So he's done for the year. Super bummer about that. Michael Carter, obviously, value goes up. He was already rostered. He's not going to be a waiver option probably, but if you had Breece Hall, hopefully you had Michael Carter or somebody. Mike Williams got an ankle injury. I think the Chargers are on a bye next week anyway, but they're saying probably like a few weeks. So he might still miss time after the bye week is what they're saying. That's going to be interesting for the Chargers but Keenan Allen did come back and play. So it's like, they haven't had both of their receivers at all, it seems like, this year. Russell Wilson, hamstring injury, didn't play this week. Just say he's day to day. I don't know. We'll see about that. This was a pretty significant one if you're following the tight end cycle and if you've been desperate for tight ends. David Njoku is out for a couple weeks, it sounds like. I forget what it was. Nothing major, but out for a couple weeks. And at least 1 week, I think they said. So if you're looking for a streaming tight end, guy with a ton of talent who should slide into that role is Harrison Bryant with the Browns. If they utilize him with all his skill, he's like 2 or 3 years in the league. He's got a ton of talent. He's super athletic. He's been okay. He's been playing a lot anyway, but if they put him in that David Njoku role, Browns have been pretty heavily utilizing Njoku in the tight end spot. So streaming option on the waiver wire would be Harrison Bryant, somebody you can throw in there at tight end. Let's see what else we got. DK Metcalf got a knee injury, was carted off, but they say he's okay. They say he might even play next week. So sounds like
I heard he was out for the season.
DK, no. DK, I just read, I'm pretty sure he wants to practice this week. I think all the MRIs stuff came back negative. I don't think he's done.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously keep an eye on it. Yeah. And then this is a fun, interesting. DeSean Jackson back in the league, signed with the Ravens. I feel like every year for the last few years, we've been talking about DeSean Jackson. 35 years old. You see this go with guys with blazing speed. They have long careers. You know, I think Tyreek Hill could end up being in this category when he's 35, like a Joey Galloway kind of situation. Like guys with that kind of speed, when they lose a step, they're still really fast. So let me ask you, how many cornerbacks in the league can cover DeSean Jackson one-on-one at 35 years old? How many of them? How many teams have a cornerback, I should say, who can cover D-Jax one-on-one at 35? What's your guess? Best guess?
I actually think all of them. I think that speed matters. I think that speed leaves you first, dude. That's the biggest thing that leaves you with age, speed, dude.
It is. But DeSean Jackson was so stupid fast to begin with. I know
what you're saying. But these guys are only incrementally faster than the cornerbacks. It just makes it way bigger over distance and time. And I think DeSean Jackson will be able to get locked up now.
Okay. All right, maybe that many do, but he's also not the number one option on that team. So that's where the value comes in. Nobody has a number three corner that can one-on-one DeSean Jackson. That's what that for sure.
Yeah, most likely.
I don't think there's any team that has a number three cornerback that can cover him one-on-one. What do you think, Lonnie?
I mean, yeah, I think that's the point, is he's not the number one guy anymore. Right. So I don't know exactly. I mean, the Ravens have been struggling with receivers for years, ever since Lamar's kind of joined their team. How many corners? It's hard to say. It is hard to say how many corners can cover DeSean Jackson. I would say if you ask them, they would say that they can stick with him. It's an interesting ad. I think I don't know if it's going to turn out for them at all. I'm interested to see it, though. I am interested. I like DeSean Jackson as much as I hate the Philadelphia Eagles. I still do like DeSean Jackson. So I mean, interested to see how it works out.
Yeah, send him down the field on a fly, you know, fly routes. Watch what happens to the defense when you send DeSean Jackson deep. Like, just watch how that defense reacts, because it's going to create holes. Or he's just going to be wide open and Lamar's going to flick it to him 40 yards down the field, you know, with 3 miles of separation between him and that third string cornerback. It'll be interesting. I don't think he can run those routes all game long, but, you know, take your shots or watch him open up the defense and then let Lamar run through the middle of it, you know, one way or the other. I think it's going to help their team. A couple waiver wire options. Marquise Goodwin caught a couple touchdowns. Looks like the speed burner, especially if DK misses time, Goodwin becomes the number two option on that team. The Seattle. Allen Robinson's still available in some leagues. He's coming off a big week, but they had a bye. The Rams, this was like bi-apocalypse, I guess, this year. Rams, Bills, Eagles, Vikings, all on bye. So a lot of teams struggling, a lot of fantasy teams struggling to fill holes. But Allen Robinson still available in some leagues because he didn't play this week, maybe not targeted. Marquez Valdez-Scantling looking like that deep threat for the Chiefs. Kind of like, I don't know, Mecole Hardman had 3 touchdowns, but I don't think that's sustainable. It was like 2 of them were end arounds. But if you need to take a shot on a guy because of bye weeks, maybe check out a Chiefs wide receiver. Marlon Mack signed with the Broncos because the other running back got hurt, Mike Boone. They're just so banged up at running back right now. Greg Dulcich, the one bright spot maybe for the Broncos has been Greg Dulcich at tight end. He had another pretty solid week. So if you're looking for tight end help, maybe look at him. Harrison Bryant. Will Disley did okay for the Seahawks again. And then maybe 2 quarterback options if you're looking for a quarterback. Kirk Cousins might be available, and Jameis Winston is practicing, has been back at practice, so he might be back in this coming week. On to the worst quarterbacks of the week. We had some pretty bad ones. Me and Vital did well. Lonnie, Taylor Heinicke gave you a 15. Whatever. He's okay, I think. Taylor Heinicke is a guy who's okay as a quarterback. I don't think he's the worst. I had Zach Wilson, 4.24. Solid Zach Wilson performance. in a win, by the way. Didn't they win the Jets? And Vital Jacoby Brissett right behind me at a 5.12. Also very disrespectable. So Lonnie, you got first pick. What are you thinking for worst QB? I'd rather have Kaepernick than which one of
so these? I'm basing my pick this week off of the defensive matchups of next week. Kind of best quarterback, you know, worst quarterback versus the best defense. I think after doing a little bit of research, again, you're seeing, you know, Aaron Rodgers against the Bills, which the Bills have the number one total defense in the NFL right now. But I think I'm going to head down to Pittsburgh and choose Kenny Pickett, who is playing the Philadelphia Eagles this week. We have the number three total defense. I was also thinking between that, Justin Fields playing the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see. But yeah, I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett.
Fields is such a good scrambler. That's the problem. He could pick up, correct, you know, 50 yards on one run and blow you that. That's the problem. He's fantasy wise, he's still not as bad as he's playing actual football, which we're going to see tonight. Vital, what do you think? You got next pick?
Oof. I don't know. I'm still looking.
I'll go next.
What? I'm going to go with the new kid, that Sam. Was it Einlinger?
Ellinger.
I just think he's going to have a bad time.
Ellinger. Whatever the hell his name is. He doesn't deserve for us to know his name yet. We'll see how he does in worst quarterbacks, and then we'll learn his name if he doesn't do well. Actually, we'll probably learn his name. We'll know his name more because of if he's really bad.
If he doesn't do well, we'll be seeing it a lot.
Yeah. I like that pick. That's a pretty good pick. I'm looking at one of our two guys from last week, Wilson or Brissett. Wilson's got New England, Brissett's versus Cincinnati. I think Brissett's been more consistent this, and I think they're going to have to throw more. I'm going to take Wilson against Wilson again, this time against these Patriots who we're seeing tonight. I think they're going to get after him pretty hard. And force some major turnovers. All right, so we got worst quarterbacks locked in. We got to get Lonnie out of here momentarily. Last thing, you guys need anything for your team destroyed, Vital's team tanked, my team, I need like Stevenson and the Patriots I need like a touchdown from the Patriots defense and probably a touchdown from Stevenson if I'm going to beat Steve this week. He's got David Montgomery. But what about DraftKings? Who did you guys pick for your DraftKings captain? Real quick, Lonnie?
Jacoby.
Jacoby Myers. Okay, Vital?
I actually got, what's his name? Stevenson, the New England
Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre Stevenson. I also went Ramondre Stevenson. I almost wanted to take the defense. I thought about it. I thought hard about it. But I didn't. I went with Ramondre as well. And I have Brissett on my team. Or I have Jacoby Myers on my team as well. So, all right, cool. We'll let you get out of here. Good to see you guys. Anything you want to promo before we get out? Any shows?
I will be in Pompano Beach Brewing Company for Panther Stew with Zach and Chris Shepard, Connie Fernandez, Drew Illa. I believe we will be in costume. I will also be hosting Union Beer Open Mic on Wednesday in Connie's stead. Monday I'll be at Thank You Miami on actual Halloween. So
awesome.
I'll see you there.
Good stuff. Vital, you got anything coming up?
No, not anything for a few weeks.
Okay, cool. I'm actually going to be in Orlando featuring at Bonkers Twisted Root Burger place, but it's a Bonkers room on Saturday night. And then I'm Thursday, I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Corey Cognac's new room with Intrepid Events, doing a show there as well. And I'm competing in Florida's Funniest competition at the Dania Improv on Wednesday night. So hopefully that's going to be fun no matter what, whether or not I move on. That's a stacked lineup. It's going to be a great show. So
come on.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good to see you. Everybody who's watching, listening, follow us, like us, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we will see you guys next week.